walk right out of this world. Oh, Enoch and Elijah. They just, one day, they just walked right out. Of course, one of them took a chariot ride, you know. But the other one, it says he just walked right out. How awesome is that? How awesome to be counted worthy to walk right out of this life, never experience death. Think about that. I think that is just most wonderful. I'd love to be able to do that. I don't know if that's ordained for me to be able to do that, but that would be awesome to walk right out of here one day. But you know something? Whether we walk out of here, if we know the Lord is our personal Savior, one day we're just going to take a plain air ride, right? Whether we've gone by way of the grave or we're still here breathing on the face of this earth. You think about that. You just pass from living here to living there. I tell people that at funerals all the time. I said, you know, when you die, if you know Him as Lord and Savior, the focus is not to live longer here, but to live forever there. That's the focus. That's where you need to be with your heart and with your life every day, every moment. And you know you do that by staying in His Word, by staying in communion with Him through His Word. Because you see, if you get into His Word and let His Word get into you, you'll run right along with Him. You'll be in step with Him. You'll be in step with the Spirit of God. He will speak to you in all kinds of ways that maybe you're not even ready for. Because I'm going to tell you what, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not an easy road. If you read it right, it's not an easy road. In fact, He told us, it ain't going to be easy. But you can do it because I'm going to be with you. And there ain't nothing impossible for Him, is it? Ain't nothing impossible for Him. Anything that's impossible for us, if we'll take it to God and as long as it's lining up with Him, it can happen. You think about that. Man, I want to tell you what, I don't know what people do without that kind of hope and assurance in Christ. What do you think? I mean, before you accept Jesus Christ, you're living for yourself. I'm going to tell you what, that's minimal at best. Although some of us probably thought that we were doing really good. Anybody testify to that? Anybody got a witness to that? I'm going to tell you, I was there. I was there. You know, there's a little old song that was written years ago, and we're gonna play another one here at the end of the service. But this particular song is called This Is My Desire. And I'm not going to try to sing it for you. I'm just going to, I probably could, but I don't want to bore you. It says, this is my desire to honor You. Lord, with all my heart, I worship You. With all that is within me, I give You praise. And all that I adore is in You. And then He goes on to say, it says, Lord, I give You my heart and I give You my soul. In other words, I give You everything. I give You all of me. I give You my thoughts, my moments, my life, my family, my job, my finances, my home, whatever that I have, I give it to You. And then what you want to do is say, not my will, but Yours be done. Because you see, when you're only looking after His will, if you lost everything right this moment, how would you react? Are you close enough to Him to say, nevertheless, Lord, You are in my life, and Your will be done in me. You think about that. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's a greater and greater possibility in this world today. In our world here in the United States of America. It's a greater and greater possibility of those things happening. It's already happened in many other countries around the world. They have absolutely nothing. They have only what the government allows. I want y'all to dwell on that. When next time you're reading through the Scriptures, I want you to keep those things in mind as you read the Scriptures. Because sometimes it takes a different point of view and a different perspective sometimes to wake us up, to make our spirit be quickened to what the Lord is speaking to us. And it's closer than you think. And then He goes on to say in the song, He says, I'm going to live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in me. But I'm going to tell you, when you say those kinds of words, get ready, because the enemy hears you too. The enemy hears you make that commitment. You see, the only enemy of commitment is compromise. You think about that. See, it's just like the only enemy of the best is that's good enough. You think about it. When you say that's good enough in your own life, you're missing it. It's not good enough. It's only good enough if you're in Christ. It's only good enough if you're sold out to Him. That's the only thing that's good enough. Now, I'm not saying that you work your way for salvation. I'm saying that you're following Him. You're following Him. You've seen the light. By the way, that last message that we were here and Pastor preached on, that light that shined on him, just like that light that shined on Brother Paul, I'm going to tell you what, that got me all excited all over more than any other spot. And I can tell you. Because that light is what makes the darkness flee. The old pastor one time told me, he said his grandson, they walked into a dark room and he reached up and flipped the switch and the little boy told him, he says, look, Papa, the darkness was chased off by the light. That's a child's perspective. The darkness is turned off by the light. Think about that. The light that we carry as carriers of the light of Jesus Christ, we turn off the darkness wherever that we go. Now, the darkness ain't going to like that, believe me. It's not going to like that because it likes doing what it does. But you can turn it off. You may suffer some consequences, but you can still turn it off. And guess what? You just may shed enough light into somebody's heart that is blackened with a stiff neck that will not be turned, that all of a sudden a little bit of light shines in. A little seed has just been planted. But I'm going to tell you what, you got to be brave enough to do that. You got to be bold in the spirit to do that. Don't you think about it? Think about it. So every moment that I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. In me, in my life, in my family, wherever that I am. Have your way in me. You think about that next time that somebody cuts you off on the freeway. I want you to think about the next time that you think somebody cheated you. Maybe they shortchanged you. Maybe something came along unexpectedly, kind of blindsided you, and all of a sudden you feel the anger level rise. You think about it, because it starts and ends right here between your ears, folks. It does. It says, out of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? Whatever's in here, going to come out. And so if you're throwing dirt, you're just losing ground. Be careful about that, because we ain't supposed to be doing that. Be careful about the words that you use. You know, over in Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The problem is that nobody reads past that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what does the rest of the verse say? Who do not walk according to the flesh. Did you know your actions are going to speak louder than your words? Think about it. Do you not judge people on what you see them do rather than what you hear them say? There it is in Scripture. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why you need the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life, because He will keep you in line to walk according to the Spirit. You think about it. Think about it. See, if you're not walking that close with Him, that you got a personal relationship with Him, you got a one-on-one conversation going on, you need to get closer. Because you see, you're still here. You're still breathing. Now, there are folks that think that after you die that you can get something changed. But I'm going to tell you what, that I don't read that in Scripture. You can change your destination after you're gone. No. You see, there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know when that's going to be? At the great white throne judgment. And it's going to be way too late for them that didn't confess him while they were here. So you see, there's a lot of folks that twist up Scripture to make it suit what they think. But you see, the gospel is not what you think, it's what Jesus says. So I'm going to tell you what, if we'll spend more time paying attention to what he says, we'll live our life differently. We'll think about things differently. We'll speak about them differently. And then, verse 2, which I really get excited over verse 2, it says that the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. You know what that is? That's that eternal life that only Christ can give to you. Only Christ. You see, there's no other name by which men might be saved other than Jesus Christ. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free. It set me free. See, I got set free. March the 7th of 1987, I got set free. I wasn't sure what I was free of, but I later found out. Because things changed. Besides that, I had a real good accountability partner. Her name was Lily. And before her is Holy Spirit. Because if I don't get it right with Holy Spirit, she reminds me. Hey, guys, if you got a good helpmate like that, you need to cherish her, okay? You need to take real good care of her. Besides that, if you don't take real good care of her, God says that I ain't going to hear your prayer. You can read that in Scripture. It's in there. So be careful. Be careful. So the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. From the law of sin and death. You know, there are three things that are constantly after you. Death is constantly after you. Hell is constantly after you. The grave is constantly after you. You think about it. But you see, death can't kill me. It can't kill you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Death has no control over you. Only God, if you're bought by the blood of the Lamb. That's that law of the Spirit of life that overtakes and consumes you. And when you are consumed by something, that's all that you think about. That's all that's on your mind. You see, for two solid weeks before I asked this woman to marry me, she was constantly on my mind. I was consumed with that thought. And it really hurt my feelings when she said, "Let me think about it." But she didn't think very long because I wouldn't give up. You see, Holy Spirit does not give up on us. He wants you to come into that extreme right relationship with God. He wants you there. He will draw you there. He will do everything to help you there. Because that's what he does for us. See, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It sets you free from that. Not free to do what you want, by the way. You understand? And it's not free to for you to go, well, I think I'll work all my life, make $1 million, and I accepted Jesus down here at this altar, but I ain't going back no more. Hey, I know people like that. They walked the aisle at 6 years old, and they ain't never been back, but I'm going to tell you what, they're 86 now, and they still headed to heaven. They ain't never served him. They never done anything with him. They never done anything for him. They don't read this word. They don't let the word get into them so that they'll live how he wants them to live. I'm going to tell you what, you do better living for God than you will for the devil. Now, it might not seem that way because there's a lot of wealthy folks that don't live for God. But I'm going to tell you what, there are some wealthy folks that do. Their money is only a tool to use in the kingdom. But that's not so with the majority. Because even the scripture tells us that money is the root of all evil. It says it's the root of it. It didn't say the money was evil. It just said the thought about it. It consumes your thoughts. It consumes your way of living. I had an old pastor tell me one time, he said, I know what's greater than the love of money. And I said, what's that, pastor? And he said, the fear of poverty. Think about it. The fear of poverty. I'm going to tell you what, when you get used to doing better, it's hard to go back. I know I can get some amens out there. Yeah. When you're used to doing better, when things seem to be straightened out and things to be seem to be running smooth. And then all of a sudden, like I asked you before, if everything was stripped away from you today and you had nothing left, what would you do? Where would you go? Who would you turn to? What would be your focus? Who would you follow? Most of y'all in here know I speak for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. They face this very fact on a daily basis. It's stripped away from them. They're run off into the jungles with the shirts on their back. Their family members are killed. They're the only one left out of the family of 30. Their homes are burned down. Their churches are torn down. See what freedom we live in? The law of the Spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. You see, one day, He is coming. One day. I don't know when that day is. But all He asks us to do is keep on keeping on till He comes. And that ain't marching in place either, folks. That's moving forward. Marching in place will never get you anywhere. You'll just beat a hole in the ground right where you're standing. And if it's muddy, you'll just make more mud. You think about it. You see, He expects us to do something with our salvation, to serve with our salvation, to serve with a whole heart. Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. By the way, can I tell you something? That's the law, y'all. That's the law, y'all. You remember, I want you to remember that law. I want you to remember what that law sets you free from man's law. Because you see, when man's law contradicts God's law, obey God. Obey God. We're supposed to do everything we can to obey the laws of the land, but I'm going to tell you what, when the law of the land is contrary to the law of God, stand up for God. Stand up for Him and step up to the plate, okay? Step up to the plate and you'll never regret it. I tell you, like an old youth pastor I know of, because he's old now, but he was young then, you know, what you don't know because you don't know. But once you do, you are responsible for it. You see, those who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, they've heard the plan of salvation, they've heard those things that they need to live, not of this world, but in this world. See, I got to live here, but I ain't of it. I got to live here because I'm flesh and blood. I'm just like you guys, okay? I'm tempted in everything. But you know, through the law of the Spirit of life, I have an armor about me, especially that helmet of salvation. You put that on your head, that stuff can't come into your mind. It cannot come in if you'll keep it firmly in place. Sin and death are always after you. Scripture says that sin lies at your doorstep. Just waiting. Just waiting. Are you going to give in? Don't look at the things around you. Remember what God has spoke to your heart. See, everyone in this room got a different testimony. I could spend another hour and a half talking about my testimony. But that's not what I'm here to do today. That's one of the three ingredients for overcoming the devil, by the way. I probably told you that before. Revelations said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even unto death. Have you come to that point where you can love God more than your own life? Can you love God more than you love your children? Men and women, can you love God more than you do your husband or your wife? Can you live for Him regardless? Can you die for Him regardless? Because that's what the Scripture talks about. Now see, we have all these freedoms, so what we must do is die to ourselves. We're not threatened with losing a spouse or losing a child, or we're not yet anyway. But that's what the enemy will do. The enemy's only there to kill, steal, and destroy, right? That's all that he's there to do. And he's really good at it. But one day he's going to get put in his place. And he ain't going to like it. And all them that have been following him are going to be put in the same place. And when they get there, they ain't going to like it. But there ain't no coming back. Ain't no coming back. You see, hell is real. The only place that I know of on earth that fits any part of the description of hell is in the middle of a volcano. And ain't nothing lives in the middle of a volcano. That's called eternal death. You see, that's a message that's not looked upon as very popular today. But I'm going to tell you what, it is real. It is real. It's as real as you and me standing here, although the Spirit of God is even more real than us because He was here before we was. That's another message. The realness of God in our lives. Now, I got about 9 more scriptures to go through. You're going to hang with me? The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So when you're set free, you don't belong to yourself. When you were bought by the blood of the Lamb, you don't belong to yourself. You are no longer yours. You need to let that sink in. Because the next time God asks you to do something and you don't want to listen, or He reminds you of something and you don't want to pay attention, guess what? He may get you in a position where you got to pay attention. Like my old pastor friend used to say, He ain't going to make you do nothing, but He may make you wish you had done it. You know, God has a way of getting His point across. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here, but He does have His way of getting His point across. I'll tell you another scripture, Psalms 119, 165. Anybody know that psalm? Psalms 119, 165, it says, "Great peace have those that love His law and His commandment, and nothing shall make them stumble." Great peace. There you go. Great peace have those who love your law, the law of the Spirit of life, makes you free from the law of sin and death, and nothing causes them to stumble. I'm going to tell you what, the psalmist had a hold of it. You ought to read Psalms 119 one day. Just sit down and read all 180-something verses in it. Man, there is a wealth of encouragement. There's a wealth of knowledge in there that the way that we should be living and the way that we should be thinking about how God has control of our lives. Do you have great peace because you love His law? You think about that. Because when you do, nothing will cause you to stumble. You know, who or what you love is what you will commit yourself to. Who or what you love, you will commit yourself to. Think about that. See, because if you love him, you're going to commit everything to him. Because after all, I mean, he gave everything for you. How can we not do that? How can we not do that and expect to be in his will and his way? How can we do that and not expect, huh? See, that those things don't fit together. Those two puzzle pieces don't fit. So that's Psalms 119, 165. So do you have peace in your heart today over it? Do you really know when you know her that no matter what, you're going to have that peace and you won't stumble the next time that the devil comes up and jumps on you? Think about it. It's something to think about. I'm going to tell you what. That's called being prepared, by the way. Prepared. And you prepare yourself by staying in this word and let it stay in you. That's how you get prepared. Because I'm going to tell you what, it can come on you that quick. I can't even snap my fingers anymore. Too much arthritis. Anyway, y'all know what it says. It come on you just like that. When you least expect it, things can fall upon your life and just totally disrupt everything. How will you act? What will be your response? Now, some of you in this room, y'all have experienced way more difficulty than I could ever imagine, okay? But how did you respond? That's the key. How do we respond? Do we respond with God? Do we run to him and not away from him? There's a lot of people I've talked to, they blame God for all kinds of nonsense. All kinds of stuff. And a lot of times, there's no way to even talk to them because their mind is made up. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's scripture that says when your mind is made up that you are an enemy of God, he'll just turn you over to a reprobate mind and let you go. That's what it says. I don't never want to come to that point, okay? You see, as a preacher of the gospel, there's one scripture in there that really scares me to death. And that's that I should preach the gospel to you and myself be a castaway. That I would not do what I preach. That scares me. Because this is a responsibility to God and to you. And I don't take it very lightly. I know Pastor Glenn, he don't take it very lightly either. He's going to tell you the truth no matter what. No matter if it hurts him or hurts things around him or, hey, he's in God's hands. No matter what the biopsies say, Joanna, he's in God's hands. No matter what comes his way, he's in God's hands. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when you're sold out, you're in God's hands. Scripture says, what do I have to fear if I got God? What do I have to fear of man when I have him? Is he not greater than everything? Did he not make everything in this life, in this world, all these things? And if there are things that he didn't make, it's because we took stuff and put it together and made something else, and it ain't always good. In fact, most of it isn't. It's contrary. You see, man is good at making stuff up. We can make stuff up in the laws that are contrary to God's laws and call it good. But it's only good for those who are in power. That's why you're supposed to obey them until it is contradictory to God. That's the way God set it up. He set it up that way. But we got to know what the laws and the commands of God are. We have to know them because you can't refute them if you don't know what they are. And you'll only know them by getting in this word. You know, 30, 45 minutes of preaching ain't going to, that won't do it. I tell you, Sunday school is a real good spot to get control of what comes into your heart and into your life to make you stronger in the word. Sunday school is excellent for that. And then your own Bible studies. I like the 300. That is, and I know where John based that off of, and I'm a great fan of John Wesley. So I've read behind him on many publications. He was an awesome preacher. But we got to stay in line with him to be with him. We got to get in line with him and then stay there. You see, I may have told you all before, last time I was here, you know, God's not looking for just a visitation on weekends. He's looking for full custody. Let's go to Matthew 24. I want to read you something here. I still got a couple of minutes. Funny how the Lord just steers you. you think you had your agenda? Mm-hmm. Matthew 24, along about the fourth verse, said, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Can I tell you that if you're paying attention to God, no one else is going to deceive you. If you know what his word says, no one's going to be able to deceive you. But if you don't know, they could deceive you. It goes on further, and it talks about, you know, on further down in there, you know, if he said, well, he's in the desert, he's down at the mall, he's over here, he's over there, don't listen to him. They're trying to deceive you. Because you know what the scripture said, don't you? He's going to come in an hour that you think not, and he's going to come so quickly that it's a twinkling of an eye. So don't pay no attention to all these folks that claim to be prophets and they claim to be this and claim to be that. If they start talking about Jesus going to show himself, because he reveals himself through the Spirit. But when he comes for us, it's going to be so quick, it's going to make all their heads spin. They're going to wonder what on earth just happened. Take heed no one deceives you. In other words, pay attention now. Pay attention. For many will come in my name saying I am Christ and will deceive many, and you will hear wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Like I told you in the beginning, God's got you. Okay? If you're his, he's got you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you hear in the multimedia. Don't worry about it, what you hear on the TV. Don't worry about the news. Can I tell you something? They got their own agenda, and they're going to spin it however they want to, okay? Even the weatherman's got his own agenda, all right? I won't go there. It'll take too long. All these things must come to pass, but it's not the end. But it's not the end. And then he says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and then there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning. Have you seen any of the beginning? Have you seen these things coming to pass? Have you seen these things just all around you, even if it's just, I mean, I still use the flip phone. I don't have smart stuff. But I'm smart enough to know that Jesus is going to come like that. So that they don't have to tell me about the signs of the times because I've seen them. And I know that the time is here, even if it's another 100 years. The time is here. You know, that's how Scripture speaks about a day. A day is 1,000 years for God. If I live to be 100, I won't be but 2.4 hours on his time clock. Think about it. Whew! That's short. That's short. So all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. He's talking to the church now. He's talking to the believer. He's talking to the born-again, blood-bought children of the King. They're going to kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Sermon on the Mount, he told them, be of good cheer when they do that to you. Because they hate me, not you. And then many will be offended. That's talking about the church. Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many because lawlessness, or if you're in King James, iniquity, will abound. It will rise up. It will be made plain right in front of you. Lawlessness. Have you seen any lawlessness today? Now, if you want me to preach another hour, we'll get on lawlessness. Lawlessness today. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Everything imaginable done in the name of equality, of identification, everything that you can conceive. But even the Word of God tells us that in the closing hours and days of this life here on earth, that the wicked will invent more ways of being wicked. Believe me, he's in the process. He's in the process. So the lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. Can I tell you something? Just because you see the lawlessness go on in this world, remember that you are living here, but you're not of here. You may be bound by men's laws simply because they have control over you, or they think they do. But I'm going to tell you what, like one old pastor said over in Laos, he said, they can kill us, but they can't really do us any harm. You see, that's the attitude that you need to have. See, if they killed you, you just go from living here to living there. I'm going to tell you what, it's much better there. Love, joy, peace, that. No chaos, no deception. It's all right there for you. It's at your fingertip. We were just singing about streets of gold. We were singing about how wonderful it's going to be. He's got a place prepared for you already. Already. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only thing that will get your name taken out, if you start changing the gospel. You read it over in Revelation's last chapter. That's the only thing to get your name erased out is if you start changing the gospel. If you're adding to or if you're taking away from. Read it. I didn't make it up. God said it. That's the only place I find like that. Other than that, God is the judge. Okay? I can judge things from what the Word of God says, but it says to temper everything with love and mercy and forgiveness. You know how you win your enemy? Well, let me ask you this. You know how you love your enemy? You know, Jesus said, love your enemy. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who do you wrong, right? How do you love your enemy? Some people think is, well, I got to lay down and be nice to them. You know, I got to give them everything they want. You know how you win? You know how you love them? You win them. You know how you love them? You tell them the truth. That's how you love them. You see, God has the only original love. Man has messed up that little four-letter word big time. His love is original. His love is all-encompassing. His love is truth. It's truth. His love is truth. That's why, you know, King Solomon tells us that love is as strong as death. That's Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. Love is as strong as death. And I know this is true because have you ever seen love just live on in those who are still living? Even after that that Meemaw, that Pawpaw has died, and all that love that they passed on. You ever seen that come through in other people's lives? Make a difference in them, make an impact upon them. You see, God's love is original. There's a whole bunch of counterfeit stuff going on down here. People got the word all confused and backwards and upside down and inside out and making it mean something that it isn't. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law, y'all. That's the law. If you learn to live in it, you're going to walk right out of here one of these days. You're going to walk right into the arms of Jesus. You're going to walk right into the arms of the Father. You're going to walk right in and see a crystal river. You're going to walk right in and there will be the throne. I'm going to tell you, it just puts goosebumps all over me. Just think about it. It's going to be an awesome day when that time happens. Awesome day. Whether we all go together or individually by the grave or not by the grave. That day is what we need to be looking at. Don't let this other stuff down here distract you. Don't let the lawlessness distract you. Keep the main thing, because it's the main thing. The main thing is to make heaven. The main thing is to follow God. The main thing is deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Don't let this other stuff scatter your brain. Don't let it do that to you. You say, what is it? 1 or 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. A sound mind. You see, you can do that with Jesus Christ in your life. I'm going to tell you what. If you're not so in love with Him that you have nothing else to say except for Him, you need to be on your knees. I'm going to tell you, because that's what it's going to take. It says, few are going to find that pathway. It says, straight and narrow is that way, and few there be that find it. Are you one of the few today? Do you know that you are one of the few? I'm preaching to somebody. Do you know that you are part of that few? That are going, I don't know how many few is. Is it one, or is it 20 million or 100 million? Or I have no idea. I ain't God. I just try to keep up with Him if I can. He runs faster than me, by the way, especially with my knees hurting. Stick with Him. Learn more about Him. I'm going to tell you what, when His presence overtakes you in your life, you'll be consumed by Him. Everything that you see around you will be Him. And guess what? Everything that people look at you, they're going to see Him. They'll see Him. I don't want them to see me. Y'all, I don't want you to look at Tommy Lowe. I want you to hear what God has to say. I want it to infiltrate your hearts, because it is my desire, the same as it is God's desire, that each and every person should know Him as Savior. I don't want any of them to perish. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's an ugly, bad place to go to, hell. I don't know any other way to say it. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad. It's going to be so bad that you can't even imagine how bad that is. Endless falling, endless darkness, endless pain, endless crying, endless burning. Can you imagine all that all the time for all the age? That's beyond me that anybody would want to go there. But like I said, what you don't know because you don't know. So I'm going to tell you what. I challenge each and every one of you to go tell somebody. I challenge you. Go tell somebody. Don't be bashful. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Man, I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of that. That one little thing to make me ashamed. See, He's our only advocate. Do you know that? He's our only advocate. He's our only lawyer that we have on our side. Everything else is against us. Because lawlessness is in the land. Lawlessness is in the world. Even back in the days of Paul and Peter and John and all the disciples, lawlessness was in the land. Well, it seems like it's just grown mushroomed, like a big old atomic bomb, you know, the mushroom cloud, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and rising, rising, rise. One of these days, God's going to have enough, I do believe. I sure hope so. Because he said, if he don't shorten the days, even the elect will be deceived. If you don't, so he's going to shorten the days for you and for me. So hang on. Get it firmly implanted in your heart that don't let the lawlessness upset you. Keep on keeping on for him, regardless of what goes on, regardless of what anybody says. Don't listen to those that have all the answers about when Jesus is coming, because they do not know. Not even Jesus himself knows. Why don't you start that song for me? This is a song from Belfast, Ireland. There was a mighty revival took place in Belfast back in the mid-90s. And it kind of says it all about our life to be lived for Jesus Christ. And if we take the words of this song and apply it to how we live and our prospect on how we see things, our focus will only be on him. It'll only be on him being glorified and lifted up. There will nothing else be able to enter into our hearts when he is completely in control of every room of your heart. You see, because I challenge you today, let Holy Spirit check the rooms of your heart. Let him check those rooms in your heart. And if there's any stumbling block, if there's any condemnation, if there's anything in there that is not of God, let him help you to remove it. Let him help you to kick it out. You don't need it there. It'll only be a hindrance to you in the days to come, because I'm going to tell you what, we need to be as pure thinking and of heart as we possibly can be. The day is real. The time is real. It's going to come upon you like that frog in that water with that heat turned up. It just gradually gets hotter and hotter and hotter until it starts to boil. Don't wait for the boiling point. It may be too late. It's real, folks. But the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Today's the day. The Bible says now's the time. Now's the time for salvation. Now's the time for commitment. Now's the time to make up your mind that you're going to follow him even unto death. Do it today. Do it today.